saying the things you wish you could. He is America's voice, Steve Gruber.
All right. Now, probably didn't even notice in everything else that's going on and all the noise coming out of the swamp. The impeachment parody continues. The stock market soars. You have all of these other things distracting from what you're paying attention to. You've got ABC News burying the story on Epstein and so forth. But if you missed it this last few days, the United States national debt has topped $23 trillion. If you missed that, it's something you should pay attention to. And it's something that both major political parties are deeply responsible for. Joining me now, John Tamney, director of the Center for Economic Freedom and Freedom Works, editor of Real Clear Markets, and the author of the new book, They're Both Wrong, A Policy Guide for America's Frustrated Independent Thinkers. John, welcome to the show again.
Hey, Steve, thanks for having me on.
Good to have you here. You know, nobody has said much about the debt recently. Every time there's a deal made to fund the military, for example, the president forced to give up billions of dollars in new spending to the Democrats, and here we continue to go $20 trillion, $22 trillion, $23 trillion. And for me, yeah, that's my frustration with both parties. What else are people frustrated with?
Well, I think the bigger frustration should just be with the spending. Let's never forget that Congress doesn't take in our dollars that we earn to stare lovingly at them. Every dollar they spend is an extra dollar of control they have over the economy. And so the fear I have, actually, in talking about deficits is that it presumes that we have a revenue problem when, in fact, we have a problem that Congress is just trying to do too much. I mean, let's ask a question. Would we prefer an annual budget that's in balance of $5 trillion a year or an annual budget of $1 trillion on $1.5 trillion in spending? I would take the deficit scenario every time because I don't care how Congress spends the money, how Congress gets money. I just have a problem with them spending it.
Well, and I agree with that. You know, if you earn a dollar and spend 99 cents, you'll be fairly happy. If you earn a dollar and spend a dollar and a penny, you'll be miserable if that's the way you conduct yourself because you're always in debt. It's always trying to catch up. And I wonder, is there a point where we just can't pay that debt, that $23 trillion? At some point, we just become Greece or Portugal, and we have a crisis.
Well, it's a great question. You know, markets are constantly pricing the point that maybe we can't pay it. And what's interesting about this is that in 1980, the national debt was close to $1 trillion, and the interest payments that Treasury had to pay on that debt were 11%. Fast forward to the present, as you point out, it's what, $23 trillion, and Treasury has to pay an interest rate of under 2%. And so this is important. Okay, sure, the debt has risen, but the U.S. economy is exponentially larger than it was in 1980, and this is the market's way of saying that in the future, the economy is going to be even bigger. And so the argument I make, and they're both wrong, is that we have a, quote, deficit problem because the U.S. raises way too much in the way of revenues, and it's going to raise even more in the future. And so investors trust Treasury's ability to pay back the debt a great deal. That's why I think the focus should be on the spending.
Hold on, because we've never paid back anything. It continues to go up. How would they trust the American government to pay back when the debt is bigger day after day after day? Why would anybody believe we would pay that back?
Well, because they are paying it back, but investors think that their ability to pay it back in the future is going to be so simple that they keep lending to them. And you can see why. The U.S. is populated by the most productive, innovative people on earth. The debt is never going to be the problem. But the spending is a big problem because it gives them more and more control. I mean, think about, let's say if we had a balanced budget amendment, a lot of alleged limited government.
Sure.
I'd say, oh, isn't that great? No, it wouldn't be great because the U.S. taxpayers produce so much wealth for the government every year that the government would grow massively by leaps and bounds if the budget were balanced.
Right, and we don't want the government to grow. So, okay, so I'm frustrated with both sides because I think government is far too big today than it ever should be. Good Lord, the most frightening thing I see in the world is, a healthcare system of $55 trillion or whatever it is because it doesn't even matter at that point. But that kind of spending or making college free for everybody, we can't afford everything all the time for all people. And some of these folks would have you believe it's okay to pay for all of these things, even if they're not American citizens. No matter where you're born on the planet, you are entitled to free American health care and free American colleges and free American taxpayer gifts of all sorts. It's frightening to me.
Yes, and the only thing that I would recommend that you amend it with, because, again, I think you and I both clearly have the same goal. We want government to do less. But every time we start talking about whether we can afford something, market signals say, oh, no, we can easily afford all sorts of idiotic programs. Because, look, lenders are lining up to lend to the U.S. Treasury at rates that are the lowest in history. And so I think the focus should be, hey, wait a second. Government is not allowed to do these things. It is not. There's nothing in the Constitution about economic growth. There's nothing in the Constitution about health care. There's nothing in the Constitution about offering those from out of the country access to U.S. health care.
All true.
If this is going to be offered, make it local. Because if you get into affordability, people will keep saying, well, no, the world is lining up to lend to us.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we got about 60 seconds here. John Tamney, director of the Center for Economic Freedom Works, the new book, They're Both Wrong, A Policy Guide for America's Frustrated Independent Thinkers. Give me one more real quick. We got less than 60 seconds of another point you make in the book where everybody's wrong.
Well, I think one area where everybody's wrong is that they constantly talk about education, and they say, well, to your point, government should pay for it. And my argument in the book is that you missed the point. Education is not why we go to school. We go to school to prove that we got through something difficult.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. And so once you do that, you rob those who aren't connected, those who might need to scrap their way through school.
That's a great point you made right there. You know, and most people miss that, John. The point of a college degree is not that, oh, you learned about history and you can write an English paper. No, it's that you can produce work. That's the bottom line. You can produce work at a level that qualifies you to work for this company or that company. That's the bottom line. That's a brilliant point that most people miss, John, and I appreciate it. I'm going to leave it on that for now, but I certainly want you back. We should be talking more, you and I, and sorting things out and saving the world, frankly. That's our job. Take it serious.
Thanks for having me on.
All right. Thanks for being here. Center for Economic Freedom at Freedom Work, John Tamney. They're Both Wrong, A Policy Guide for America's Frustrated Independent Thinker. Back after this.